Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Michigan Associated Press sports editor, Larry Lage. Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm usually saying good friend. Did I do something to make you mad?
I figured everyone knew that by now.
It's redundant.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about what we saw last Saturday at Michigan Stadium, and it is a beautiful facility. I don't know of one that would top it in terms of press operations. But in terms of the balance in the series, if I had told you 3 years ago, after Mario Manningham caught that touchdown pass to beat Michigan State 28-24, that there is a pretty good likelihood that the next incoming class at the University of Michigan would leave without beating Michigan State, what would you have told me?
Stop drinking. I couldn't see this happening because I haven't seen this happen. I was born in 1973, and right. Michigan State hasn't dominated this series since before the twinkle in my dad's eye, 65-67. So I wouldn't think it would be possible.
Right.
But like Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio is catching Michigan at the right time.
Yeah.
In a time of transition, in a time of turmoil, and he's taking full advantage of it. And he deserves credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and catching Michigan at the right time is half of it, as you suggest. Also, some fundamental changes in the way Michigan State football handles its business, I think we have seen, and maybe it takes a little while for that to kick in. Sometimes you have some peaks and valleys along the way, but I don't think there's anyone who would tell you that structurally Michigan State football wasn't as healthy as it's been in a long time.
No, and like Mark D'Antonio said, we're about to find out how mature this team is. If they can sustain the success they've had, and I'm not suggesting go undefeated, but finish this season strong with 9, 10, 11 wins, I think the same old Spartans tag will definitely be banished. Now, if they bring it back, then it'll hang around for at least another year or two. So time will tell. Certainly there are signs that this is not the same old Spartans, but we'll see against Illinois, and we'll see the rest of the way, frankly, because we were both there up close in 1999 when a team was 6-0, rolling right along, absolutely got demolished by Purdue and Wisconsin, I believe, by a combined score of 92-38.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and that's what happens sometimes when you face Ron Dayne and Drew Brees. The thing that was maddening to a lot of Michigan State fans wasn't a loss in a game like that, but how often have we seen a Michigan State team lose to an inferior opponent? And I think that despite some respect for what Illinois has done, most people would think that Michigan State should win its next two games.
I would agree with you, and I think what Illinois did against Penn State may be as much to say about where Penn State is in terms of falling apart as it says about where the Illini are right now. Albeit with some talent that Ron Zook has chipped away at, adding to that roster in Champaign-Urbana.
One of the things that has always been Michigan State's undoing, Larry, is a lack of depth. And that's a better situation this year, especially at certain positions. But we have seen some erosion and saw a little bit more with the problems that Chris Rucker has had with the .10 reading and suspension for at least one game. What can a coach do about that, and how much blame do you place there?
You know, a coach can only do so much. I'm sure, or I would hope, that D'Antonio and the coaches and the captains were telling the players on the bus ride home to, you know, make good choices and don't tarnish what we did tonight. And what Chris L. Rucker did isn't quite what DeJuan Moss did after, I believe, 49-3 loss.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Alan Tran would say, that's not what you're looking for, especially from somebody who has been given at least a second chance by a program after soiling it with some choices he made in that fraternity brawl last year.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Darquise Denard plays this week, filling in.
Is he a true freshman?
True freshman
or redshirt? Okay.
True freshman.
I knew he was a freshman, but I wasn't sure if he was redshirt or not.
Yeah, true freshman from Georgia, and he's very slim. Okay, he's skinny. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he holds up over a long Big Ten season. I know that if they play Iowa and he has to play DJ Koyanos, or if he goes against Marvin McNutt, he's going to be at a significant disadvantage. So if it gets to that point, but we don't know yet how long Chrisell Rucker could be out. And I've heard some people say, well, he'll miss a game. And I've heard some other people say they hope they never see him again. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all works out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is troubling that anybody that was involved with that brawl on campus last year, you know, if they didn't get religion after that and stay as clean as they could, it just really makes you question what's going on between their years, frankly. Obviously, drinking and driving is a problem in America. It's, frankly, one of my goals to not get one, because if you go out for a drink, there's a good chance you could blow something if you did get pulled over. And, you know, right. 0.10 is certainly not smashed, but it is legally drunk.
Right.
And he's paying the consequences for it.
I'm not excusing it in any way, shape, or form, Larry, but I can tell you that you know what it's like when sports writers go out. I'm willing bet you that if we had tested a lot of our group from time to time, maybe we wouldn't have been 0.28, but I think we would have been 0.08.
Right, right. So, you know, Saturday I actually would have blown something illegally if I was behind a car. The good news is I was in my basement watching Les Miles' unbelievable latest decision in the comforts of my own home.
Well, you mentioned Les Miles, and I want to go back to his alma mater, the University of Michigan. And, of course, the Mad Hatter now off to a great start again with LSU. He really is the master of the fake field goal play. We think that Mark D'Antonio has a patent on that. Les Miles does it about every second year and makes it work. In terms of what is the situation with Rich Rodriguez, a lot of speculation now. If Michigan rights the ship and goes on and wins 8 or 9 games, I think a lot of people will tend to look past Saturday's loss to some degree. But if this is the beginning of another seismic shift downward, and Michigan finishes with 6 or 7 wins, a lot of people are going to be questioning whether Rich Rodriguez is the right coach and whether someone like a Les Miles or a Jim Harbaugh would be a better choice.
Oh, there's no question. And at some point along the way, the shoe is going to drop on the NCAA decision with the paramount question. In the NCAA's mind, after hearing Michigan's take, did Rich Rodriguez fail to promote an atmosphere of compliance? That's the one major violation or charge that Michigan is fighting. They've accepted the other 4, and I believe that is going to come out any week now. And, you know, that'll either be a sigh of relief if the NCAA, you know, buys Michigan and Rodriguez's explanation, or it'll be, you know, another black eye if they do slap him with that violation. Of course, he'll be able to appeal, and the school will appeal, and so it could drag on for there. But, you know, at some point that's going to happen too. But, you know, winning is the best deodorant, and if they can beat Iowa, which I wouldn't think is likely, but certainly possible, that'll clear up a lot of the funk.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying now that based on what they have seen the last couple of weeks, especially from this defense, Michigan is likely to lose to Iowa, to Wisconsin, and at Ohio State. If that does indeed happen, that makes them 5-4 with 3 games left. They would have a Saturday night game at Penn State, and we know that this is not a vintage Penn State team. They would also have a game against Purdue and Illinois. So the question is, can they win 2 of those 3, or can they steal a win somewhere else?
Right. Well, that's what we'll find out. There's, without question, the second half of Michigan's schedule is much tougher than the first. And the preseason prediction that you dragged out of me was 7-5.
Right.
And I'll stick with that.
Yeah.
I'll stick with that.
Yeah, I think we're on the same wavelength again. Surprise, surprise. I want to talk to you a little bit about what you saw today at Breslin Center with Tom Izzo. Seemed to be in a pretty good mood despite the usual spate of injuries here before the season starts. But
it's a little unusual, isn't it? I can't remember so many guys being banged up. They usually have 1 or 2, but, you know, there's half the roster is walking wounded.
Yeah, I told him, you know, eventually the law of averages would say that you're getting enough injuries, you should have a couple of injury-free years. He didn't buy that line of reasoning, but what did you think of Tom Izzo today in terms of temperament and the way he's approaching things as opposed to the guy you saw going into the Cleveland decision?
Well, I think we heard a lot of the same things come out of his mouth, but something told me he just felt a little uneasy or a little awkward for Tom Izzo's standards. And perhaps it was from the Cleveland situation, because that's really the first time he's been in a, you know, a big group setting like that since that contentious news conference in which he announced he was coming back.
Right.
So I felt like he looked and sounded a little different, maybe a little uneasy.
Right.
But, I mean, what did you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that he's had a lot on his mind and things that aren't necessarily fun, but we'll see how he reacts to Midnight Madness, and if they fill it up then, it might take some of the pressure off. I know he's enjoying this football season a great deal. Our guest, Larry Lage, Michigan Associated Press sports editor. Thanks so much, Larry.
And good friend.
Okay. Don't forget that. All right. I want to thank all of our guests today, for our producer, Scott Eckersley, Jack Ebling, saying have a great night, everyone.